Welcome to Risky Business News, a podcast on the recent news from the cybersecurity industry. This is Catalin Campano, and today's show is brought to you by Rumble, the asset discovery company. Starting off today's show, the Atlantic Council published a report on the ransomware ecosystem on Tuesday, following interviews with more than 50 policymakers, cybercrime experts, law enforcement officials, and technologists. Entitled Behind the Rise of Ransomware, the report reaches the same conclusion that everyone else has reached in previous years, namely that ransomware operators aren't likely to shift to something else until their profits dwindle. Instead, the report focuses and puts forward new ways that US lawmakers could explore to stem the ransomware problem in the long run. The Atlantic Council concludes that authorities need to crack down on cryptocurrency cash-out schemes, but also nudge organizations towards improving their cybersecurity defenses. In addition, the report also makes three recommendations that are original and haven't been publicly explored in any previous reports. The first is that Congress should pass legislation for mandatory reporting of all ransomware incidents. Reports should be made to CISA and should include any details on ransom payments if they have taken place. The benefit from this is that US law enforcement would have a much clearer insight into the ransomware threat landscape compared to the most likely very inaccurate stats that we currently have. In addition, since the vast majority of targeted ransomware attacks are against small and medium-sized businesses, who typically can't afford expensive cybersecurity plans and resources, the second recommendation is that Congress should also establish a tax relief program for SMBs to encourage them to use their extra funds to implement security best practices, such as deploying multi-factor authentication, backup solutions, or incident response plans. And last but not least, Congress should also pass legislation offering federal tax credits to SMBs, money they could use to hire or retain employees with cybersecurity expertise, similar to past minority hiring programs. The tax credits could also be spent on cybersecurity training programs. Now, in other government-related news, Chinese hacktivists have come out in full force ahead of Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi's historic visit to Taiwan on Tuesday. The Internet Storm Center at the Sands Institute reported that since last week, Chinese hackers have been scanning websites for vulnerabilities and launching small to medium DDoS attacks. Targets included the websites of US and Taiwanese companies, along with Taiwanese government portals. The activity started last Friday, and most attacks originated from Chinese consumer IP addresses, suggesting that the Chinese government and its great DDoS cannon have not been formally deployed yet. Transitioning from government to data breach news, the US Department of Justice also said last week that it was investigating a security breach that impacted its court documents management system. Officials said the incident took place in early 2020 and is separate from the SolarWinds-related intrusion that DOJ disclosed last year. On top of this, news about several other breaches also came to light during the past few days. This includes news about a ransomware attack at Semicron, a German manufacturer of power semiconductor components, another ransomware incident at Spain's Ministry of Science and Innovation, and the leak of corporate data from Italian weapons maker MBDA. In addition, TechCrunch also reported this week that hackers managed to install malware on the computer of an employee of fintech company Wiseasy. The hackers allegedly stole passwords for two cloud dashboards the company was using to manage more than 140,000 Wiseasy payment terminals around the world. TechCrunch reported that while security firm Bugguard reached out to Wiseasy to notify the company about the incident, they were ignored while the fintech company silently added two-factor authentication to the two previously exposed cloud dashboards. It currently remains unknown if the threat actors accessed or made any configuration changes to Wiseasy payment terminals. But since our last show, there are also two major security incidents in the cryptocurrency space. The first is that users of the Solana blockchain ecosystem lost funds from their internet-connected wallets after a threat actor abused some sort of blockchain exploit. Affected wallets included offerings from services like Phantom, Slope, and Trust Wallet, and losses were estimated at around $5 million, according to reports. The second incident involved the Nomad cryptocurrency bridge platform, which suffered a security breach on Monday after an attacker exploited a vulnerability in the platform and stole millions of US dollars across various cryptocurrencies. making matters worse. As news of the hack became public, other threat actors also began exploiting the same bug, draining the platform of all its funds, estimated at around 190 million worth of cryptocurrency. And since we're in the cryptocurrency ecosystem, the New York State Department of Financial Services also fined Robinhood $30 million for failing to implement proper cybersecurity and anti-money laundering measures in compliance with state laws. This marks the state's first fine against a cryptocurrency platform for cybersecurity failures. Moving on to tech news, Samsung said last week that it developed a new security feature for its fleet of Android devices. Named Repair Mode, the feature can be activated when users send their devices for repairs, and the feature works by locking down all the personal data and the device to prevent rogue repair technicians from sifting through a user's personal information. Currently, the new repair mode is being trialed inside South Korea on Galaxy S21 devices. However, the feature is expected to be made available for more users internationally and to other devices. Moving on to cybercrime and threat intelligence news, the Shadow Server Foundation said over the weekend that it observed threat actors exploiting a recently patched vulnerability in Apache Spark data analytics servers. Tracked at CVE-2022-33891, the vulnerability can be used to execute arbitrary code on unpatched servers. Exploitation of the vulnerability appears to have begun less than a week after the patch was released, which most likely also means that most Spark servers have yet to be patched. In cybercrime crackdown news, the US Securities and Exchange Commission also charged 11 individuals on Monday for their roles in creating and promoting ForceAge, a fraudulent crypto pyramid and Ponzi scheme that raised more than $300 million from investors. In addition, a former owner of a T-Mobile retail store in Eagle Rock, California, has also been found guilty of stealing access credentials from a T-Mobile employee to access the telco's internal computer systems to illicitly unlock and unblock cell phones. US authorities said the suspect advertised his unlocking services through brokers, email campaigns, and websites such as unlocks247.com, and is believed to have made more than $25 million from unlocking T-Mobile phones that were later resold on the black market. In malware-related news, several technical reports have been published over the past few days, such as reports on Redline Stealer, the GoodKit Loader, the SolidBit Ransomware, the Industrial Spy Ransomware, and the Quasar Remote Access Trojan. Links to all reports are available in the show notes, but the most interesting one comes from Cisco Talos, which detailed a new attack framework called Manjusaka being used in the wild by Chinese threat actors and advertised as an imitation of the Cobalt Strike framework. Now for vulnerability-related news, the Android Project, Jenkins, and VMware have also released security updates this week for various vulnerabilities. Another project that released security updates was the rsync file transfer utility. We'll now hear from Pierce Berry, Principal Security Researcher at Rumble and today's sponsor, with more on the rsync security patch.
Researchers with ProDaft Cybersecurity Technologies recently found a vulnerability in the file synchronization utility rsync. Successful exploitation allows arbitrary file writes on the receiving rsync endpoint by a malicious or even a machine-in-the-middle sending rsync endpoint. This could include overwriting important account and system files to enable unauthorized access or propagating malware. Maintainers at the rsync project were responsive to this disclosure and made a timely update available in version 3.2.5 pre-release to patch this vulnerability. It's encouraging to see projects like rsync, which is over 25 years old, still receiving prompt attention for reported security issues. This level of responsiveness is important in supporting a good security posture for current and future users.
This is it for today's news. You can find links to all the technical reports mentioned in this podcast in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com, and you can subscribe to our podcast via our website at risky.biz.